AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
You know, just because you're getting married, you know, you come in here, disrupt our beginning of our show.
It's not his fault.
Fred left his shirt in here.
So leave it there. Who's going to take it?
A t-shirt. Like, why would Fred, like, why does Fred have a
t-shirt? What t-shirt is that? Hold that thing up.
It's an Aviator Nation shirt.
That's an expensive shirt.
It's a nice t-shirt.
That is a really nice shirt, actually. You know what? He's probably smart for grabbing it. He probably knew I was going to take that. That's actually well played, Fred.
Would you have snatched that even though it smells of his cologne?
I'd throw it in the water. Throw it in the salt water. It'll smell like the dirty river water.
You got to stop doing that. But, you know, it's very interesting because Matt acts like Fred's shirt is like, you know, like an eighth grader, like, throw me your shirt. Like, you know, he acts all weird about it. And he flings it over to Figures. And then it ends up just draped on my coffee and right on my poots, right over my whole lap. Just like when Jerry Hairston got flooped on
the
flopper.
Got hammered by that giant blanket.
Did you see that blanket get Hairston in the head? And I'll tell you what.
He was pissed.
He did not handle it with grace.
He was pissed.
He's like, get that out of here. He was hot.
He was.
He was mean in the face.
Look, you go out with the people, and you got to expect some incoming.
Hey, Stan Kasten wants to promote center field. This is center field. This is L.A.
Our city, our home.
Los Angeles.
We never walk alone.
Without a Giants blanket to floop on the flopper of Jerry Hairston.
Now I'm offended. There's only you, me, Kate's that would come in here after Fred until he will be in here the next time. And yet he felt the need to tell Kevin,
get my special Aviator Nation shirt.
Suggesting that either maybe he's not comfortable with my body odor, leaning back against it.
And now Kevin's got the Aviator Nation shirt slung over his shoulder like a kid playing a varsity football game on a Friday with his jersey. You know, up, oh, better get to the locker room.
You know what I like to do is bring my clothes with me and then change into them at the gym. I don't like to wear the clothes to the gym.
Yeah, why does Fred, what did Fred have to change his shirt for in the middle here? What is this, a locker room?
Was that a gift? Does he change mid-show? Does he sweat a lot and he's got a costume change?
I'm not sure. I could have swore I saw him wear this in. So if he walked out in a different shirt, I'm not exactly sure why he was.
That's a little weird,
isn't it? You know what? Maybe he lactated and he had to take it.
That's, you know.
It's possible.
Why not just throw things out, you know, throw it out there?
We're in a time of fluidity. And I'm talking about the fluid coming out of Fred's boobs.
Ronnie, you got a direct line of sight to Fred. Did you happen to see him change?
Was he leaking?
I didn't see him change, but I know that he was going to San Francisco. So he might have brought a change of clothes or something. I'm not sure.
He's got his airline outfit.
Yeah.
Let me put on my three-piece suit. I like to travel with class.
Likes to travel like Jim Hill.
Right?
That is the one weird thing about Fred. He only travels like Jim Hill.
Double-breasted suit.
In the double-breasted. Otherwise, you know, he's on in a quarter zip on TV, but double-breasted like Jim Hill on the plane. All right, we can start the show. Let's start it. What is dark within me? Illuminate!
Petros, everybody, LA Sports. Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio up. There it is.
So we just won't be defeated Wednesday, Matt.
Yeah,
Vic, we got to get it right for you. Because you're going to be doing some apologizing today, Vic.
You're going
to be doing some big apologizing today.
Well, there's been some forensics. Well, first of all,
we just won't be defeated Wednesday.
What I've been told, Matt, is A, Vic has a musical interlude for his introduction.
Oh, beautiful.
So are you ready for that, Vic?
Love it.
Oh, I am so pumped.
Love it.
Is that what I was told, that he's going to have a musical interlude? Does he not? All right, that's fine. We don't have it. You do have it. This isn't even my idea, Matt.
This is Vic independently. Okay.
All right. So we are waiting.
You guys remember yesterday.
We're going to await that interlude now.
You guys remember yesterday, we launched into a tune that I believe propelled the Azul to victory.
Like Shatner propelled in that big Puzo into space.
had Puzo inserted itself into space.
That phallus pierced the atmosphere.
Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Azul. But we played this song yesterday, hours before the fabulous Dodger victory, and I felt you go with your hot hitters. I said you go with Bellinger yesterday, and you mocked Bellinger. He only had a couple of hits. I said you got to play Luxie. He's the hottest hitter. You mocked Luxie. Luxie got on base four times last night.
We didn't mock Luxie.
You mocked Bellinger.
No, I didn't. I said Bellinger's the best. It was alliteration. Bellinger's the best.
Timmy, replay that tape in your spare time.
Oh, now you're going to the tape?
You will hear...
Now you're demanding people be accountable for the statements they make?
You'll hear the mockery. You'll hear the mockery.
I think this is important because we really got after Vic hard about Wood. Now, I'm not trying to go all the way back.
I see what you did there.
And bring up the old...
We got hard with Vic about Wood.
Hard
you're
on
going, you're going,
that's
you're going back
we brought
on
the Wood to Vic when he called Alex Wood.
Flotsam and Jetsam.
Right? We did.
We did.
And
absolutely,
we hammered him in the moment.
Rightfully so.
We hammered him afterwards. We hammered him hard yesterday and made him look like a fool for calling out Alex Wood in that way when Alex Wood went out and carved up the Dodgers like they were a honey-baked ham. However, wait, Vic. Somebody did do some...
At the bit.
Somebody did some... easy, Vic. Somebody did some PMS... Elder Abuse Forensics, and they found...
You know who that somebody was? Scott Higa.
Oh, the Christian.
Yes.
Growing long hair. Loves Star Wars.
He has an axe to grind with me.
Why?
I'm a heathen.
Well, I don't think that's true. He doesn't care. He's not like after you because you're a heathen. I just think that like...
You would think.
It's like the John Gruden thing.
You would
think
he would love everybody.
It's like the Gruden thing. He knows you did wrong, and he doesn't know... what the statute of limitations on that wrong is.
Growing long hair.
Hates Matt.
Loves Star Wars.
Hates Matt.
Thanks, Matt, for going to hell.
Hall of Fame. Do you know Scott Higa? Do you know Scott Higa? His listening skills dominate yours.
So who led Vic to plant those nefarious seeds? Who led Vic to the Devil's Garden?
Look, Vic is his own man. Well, Vic is his listen. Old man with his own thoughts.
Let's listen then. Let's just go back 2 days in the old PMS forensics elder abuse machine.
Scott.
No, that's his freaking Tiga. Well, now, all right.
Oh, look at that. Kate's
what would you rather have on the hill than the Magnifico Max Scherzer?
Nobody.
And A. Wood. I mean, we know A. Wood, man. We know what he has. We know
that guy. That guy's a bum.
A bum. We know what he has. He slots him in jail.
Wait a minute. And then I came in and was like, wait, you called him a bum.
Yeah, and then Vic, listen, I just called him a bum. Vic called him a bum and flots him in jail.
You opened the door.
I didn't open. Hey, I opened the door. It's up to Vic to walk through.
Piling on.
You're like the guy that like pours a glass of water on a drunk girl. And then the next dude comes in with a hose like, yeah, look at this. Look at this. But
and
you
I'm
started
right next to him dancing.
He started it. One more time there.
Who would you rather have on the hill than the Magnifico Max Scherzer?
Nobody.
And A. Wood. I mean, we know A. Wood, man. We know what he has. We know
that guy's a bum.
A bum. We know what he has. He slots him in jail.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. I've got to be the voice of reason
and
here.
And then Matt's like...
He's a bum.
He's a bum. You called him Flotsam and Jetsam, Vic. How could you do that? Vic, you son of a bitch. And all of this was brought to light. The audacity of the Pharisees brought to light by Scott Higa. Christian
Scott
man.
Higa. Growing long hair.
Hates Matt.
Loves Star Wars.
Still hates Matt. That's true.
In the Listener Hall of Fame.
And somebody's now comparing you to the tugboat chick that threw the beer at that Rams game that we called.
Yeah.
This says you guys definitely owe Vic an apology.
Why?
Do I owe you an apology, Vic?
Search your soul.
Me?
Everybody.
Yeah, look who wants an apology now.
Look who wants an apology now. I really don't want an apology.
Yeah, it sounds like you do.
I just feel, I'm just channeling, you know, my inner Azul alive in five, And all good vibes are what's happening now. I'm not rewinding.
This is Vic throwing flaming balls right back at Money. 88 and out the gate.
No nefarious seeds being planted here. Only seeds of pure Dodger victory. That's all I'm planting. I'm a farmer.
I heard that was a 28-minute haiku today, Vic.
Well, I quoted Basho, you know, the great haiku artist.
Of course.
I'm really unleashing all the heavy haiku artillery. But also, did you guys feel that incredible energy when we played the McCoy's victory song going into last night's game four?
Oh, you want to sing Hang On, Sloopy?
I believe it's a trend.
I want you to sing Hang On, Sloopy, Vic.
I think you should, and we'll use 100%. We'll use our 100%. Big event tomorrow at BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse in Burbank, right off the 5 at the Olive Avenue exit, as a backdrop.
Do I need to apologize? Vic, would you like me to apologize to you? Was I too aggressive yesterday?
No. This is you know, the Panic Brothers were obviously panicking a little bit.
They panicked.
And I get it. I know where you guys are coming from. I get it. Well, it's been 15 years of the Petrol Some Money Show. I understand.
You're well aware.
Scott Higa says he likes you very much.
Thank you.
He's very upset now.
There you go. Good vibes.
Like
he doesn't like you so much to where he can't tell the truth about what you did. You led Vic off the cliff, and then you turned around and pointed, and you said, heretic.
Yeah. Ronnie, hit me. For the Dodgers.
Come hang. Stay and watch a Dodgers-Giants game tomorrow. We start at 2.
Hey, 2 to 5 p.m.
Sloopy, hang on.
Keep singing, Vic. Go ahead.
Just go ahead.
Yeah,
hit it.
We're going to be inspired by the song. Forget Neil Diamond. It's the McCoys. You know? Sloopy lives in a very bad part of town.
Food stamps. John's groceries.
Everybody that tried to put my Sloopy down. Sloopy, I don't care what your daddy do.
He's a board operator.
You know, Sloopy girl, I'm in love with you. Dodger fans.
Hang on, Sloopy,
Dodgers, you're going to San Francisco. Freak out, Frisco.
Hang on, Sloopy.
Freak out, Frisco.
Come see us 2 to 5 p.m. tomorrow. Oh, that's you, Vic.
Oh, red dress as old as the hills, the Burbank Hills.
But when Sloopy wears that red dress, yeah, girl.
Okay, Vic,
I got chills for Julio Urias, man.
You didn't pull the lyrics, did you, Vic? Son of a bitch.
This verse is really a crazy verse.
Is it really?
It's not in the original McCoy song.
Is that right?
They pulled this chorus out of there.
Sloopy liked to hike up that red dress and show her colo, I think.
This is the Paul Oakenfold remix.
Show me your colo! Hang on, Sloopy! Sloopy, hang on!
Freak out, Frisco, we're coming for ya!
Again, Vic.
Julio Urias.
Love it.
Oh, yeah.
2 to 5 p.m. right off the 5 freeway at the Olive Avenue exit tomorrow. Think of it as a giant pregame. Door prizes, PMS fun, listener MVPs will all be in attendance. Our first L.A. County Petros and Money live show since prior to COVID.
We're crossing the tracks.
We are. And we got a happy hour special, like $3 domestic bottles, $4 BJ signature handcrafted beers, $5 call drinks, and so much more.
What do you think he's saying when he says let your hair hang down, Vic? What do you think he's talking about?
Her merkin.
Be loose. Just get loose. Down
get
on
your
me.
Merkin off. Just let it hang down.
She's got a merkin.
Hang down on me. Yeah.
Come on.
Well, hang on, Sloopy.
Come on.
Well, hang on, Dodgers!
The worst part of this song is when the one guy goes, yeah. That one guy goes, yeah.
Feels so good, Azul.
There's one guy in McCoy's has Tourette's. That's
feels so good, Azul in 5.
Yeah.
Shake it, yeah. Shake it, Sloopy. Give it up for the Azul.
Sloopy, hang on.
Dodgers 5. Hated 1-3. You heard it here first.
Oh, wow. You're giving us a score a day early, Vic? You sure?
I am so confident.
Your scores have not been great, by the way.
I had 4-2 last night.
Yeah, and it was a much easier victory. They cruised to a victory. It was wild.
Everybody, the collective
totally
was
no raking. Stress.
Let's get back to the garden.
Okay.
Oral Hershiser are also asking for an apology.
Why?
I don't know.
From me? I'll always apologize to Oral.
He wants us all to apologize. He said, everybody owes me an apology. Apologize to me also, panic bros. That's what Oral said.
The people need panic. The people need the panic brothers.
They need to exercise their
panic.
Yes,
there is no denying it. They need an outlet. We are the spigot of panic. You open it and panic comes flowing out.
Look at this text. Vic is such a poser at almost everything he does.
Oh boy. I mean,
Vic, I thought that was straight from the heart. Even though you didn't know the Sloopy thing about her red dress. You know, when she puts a red dress on,
that chorus,
man.
You know what's...
Meshuggah's with Attitude covered Hang On, Sloopy.
Is that right? I would have never guessed.
And that chorus was never in the mix.
You didn't talk about her red dress?
Oh, that verse? The red dress verse?
The red dress verse. That's like a hidden chorus.
What's this? Oh, that's the outro. Okay.
Well, look at this, Vic. I just looked it up. There is something called the three-verse version.
Of Sloops?
Yes.
Oh,
with verse
right?
2, Sloopy wears a red dress, yeah, as old as the hills. But when Sloopy wears that red dress, yeah, you know it gives me the chills.
Why?
Because...
There's a hole in it?
When I see you walking down the street, I say, don't worry, Sloopy girl, you belong to me.
I think Sloopy should have her own identity. Course.
Completely agree. Like hey, you can't just say, I like that red dress. You belong to me. That ain't cool.
That doesn't validate my entire existence. I'm Sloopy from the wrong side of the track. My father is a pool shark, and I, or snooker. And I'm proud of who I am. I don't need some rich guy in the McCoys
right?
with a Tourette's friend to tell me that I'm okay to hang on.
Yeah.
Hanging on myself.
You know what, Vic? Axe that one from the playlist. Not okay. Sloopy, not okay.
Yeah.
Just because she's wearing a red dress and you're a rich dude, you can't be like, hey, Sloopy, get over here.
Yeah.
You're mine.
That red dress is not an excuse to marginalize Sloopy. And
exactly
what is this
right.
Sloopy crap? Call her by her real name.
Yeah, her name's Stephanie, okay?
Yeah.
That's Sloopy.
Do you know who has Hang On Sloopy as their fight song? Maricosta High School.
Is that right?
No fool.
Here we go.
Pretty sweet.
Burp, derp, 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 derp.
Azul alive in 5.
That's pretty great.
We're alive in 5.
Done it for a long time.
Alive in 5, and you're projecting 5-3.
Correct.
And I told you Bellinger was going to be fine last night, Vic. I don't know why you're freaking out.
They were all fine last night. How about Mookie?
How about
Can we
Mookie?
Get some more love for Mookie?
How about Mookie? How about Seager?
It's kind of hard to, Vic, while you're here throwing fireballs at us from your crotch.
Seager's is unleashed, man.
I want some of that BJ's that Cates is getting.
All right, we'll go to break.
Unleash the Pazuki.
Ned Colletti's going to join us next. David Basset later. Check in with the Kings. We have Kings tickets to give away with Alex Faust. It is a We Just Won't Be Defeated Wednesday. And what am I going to do with it or not? On PMS on AM570 LA Sports.
What am I going to do with this guy?
You're home of the Dodgers. Vic says they're going to win.
And money on your smart speaker.
Mic check, mic check.
Just say, Alexa.
Yes?
Play AM 570 LA Sports on iHeartRadio.
We want it to do.
Remember tomorrow, we are doing a big old pregame party.
Yeah.
Going into first pitch at 6 o'clock, game 5. Dodgers and Giants, we will be live at the BJ's restaurant. And
that's Joan, yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Joan Ryan.
We will be live at the BJ's Restaurant Brewhouse in Burbank, 107 South 1st Street, right off the 5 Freeway at the Olive Avenue exit. We got door prizes, 3 hours of Petros and money, 2 to 5 p.m. going into Morongo Casino Resort and Spa, Dodgers on deck with Tim Cates. And then first pitch on your home of the Dodgers, AM 570 LA.
Joan, get out of the way.
She's got her coffee.
A great Giants man. But he built the Dodgers.
That's the truth.
A baseball analyst, but he scouts hockey.
That's the truth.
A TV personality, but he teaches college kids all about sports business.
Period.
There's only one Ned Coletti. And he joins us here on the Petros and Money Show. So get your cannolis and sit back in your booth for the Pagliacci Show. On the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline. Game 5 is tomorrow. Will Ned be there? Or will he stay back? Somebody's got to lean on the bat with Jerry. What's cracking, Ned? How are you?
You guys are incredible. Every intro is unique, you know? Good stuff. Hey, you know what I did last night after the pregame show?
What'd you do?
I sat in the pavilion for 7.5 innings.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah? Did you get a fight?
It was great. Almost. I tried to, but nobody would take me out. No, but it was a great time. It was cool to do it.
It's awesome out there.
And, I'll start doing that more often, too. I like hanging out, listening to people talk, and getting their view. That's the view I grew up in Chicago, was the one from left field bleachers. And missed seeing it, so it was cool to do it last night.
I could see, like, if Vasse was the bodyguard, like Fredo, and somebody took a shot at Ned, and then Vasse's fumbling with the gun like Fredo did, like, and then he's just in the street, like, you know, like, you failed.
Not needed. Everything is good.
No. Very peaceful. But good.
Absolutely. Especially
the Godfather
pavilion
song. You know.
Ned, were you surprised by anything last night?
Yeah, I was, actually. I was surprised at San Francisco's use of their pitching staff. Taken aback some. I understand the opener from time to time. As I looked at this series before it began, and I looked at how good they were, and they played hard, and they've executed, the defense has been really good, and they positioned well. Bullpen's been really good, but it's really, for the most part, it's a younger bullpen. You don't have 5, 6, 7, 8 years of service going through most of those arms. And I think when you are bringing guys in, like, to put out fire after fire after fire, and they're walking people, and they're not really giving your team the chance, I guess, that you expected that you were going to get. And in the meantime, you're giving the opposition, the Dodgers, a really good hitting club, more and more looks at pitchers. And I'm not sure there was a relief pitcher that pitched last night for San Francisco that left Dodger Stadium with more confidence than they came in with. So you asked the question. That surprised me, because I'm not sure what anybody got out of that wearing black and orange.
Yeah, I almost – and, Ned, I don't know if it's that Gabe Kapler has an incredible amount of confidence in Logan Webb. And, you know, for people that are at – and I think I'd fall into this category. Like, guy's just in his first full season as a starter. You know, I can't expect him to take care of this lineup two times in a five-game series. But then I think about Walker Buehler and what he was doing, you know, in his second season and going out there and dominating the playoffs. What can you tell us about Logan Webb and you know, just what he was able to do to this team throughout the regular season and again in that first game of the series?
Well, there's little doubt in my mind he knows how to pitch. He is excellent at understanding the craft, or to go back to the theme song, the business he has chosen, so to speak. You know, as I looked at it, and I talked to Rick Krajewski today, who does a lot of stats for Oral and Joe Davis, and whenever I need something, I go to Rick. Because I was curious how much swing and miss he created in Game 1, because I saw Trey Turner, kind of, who's batting champion, great hitter, kind of expanding that strike zone deeper and farther out. And what I learned today is 48 of his 92 pitches were pitches out of the zone, some by design, some because he didn't have command of them. Dodgers swung at 15 of the 42, which was a 31% chase rate. I'm getting real analytical here, which isn't necessarily my style, but I think it's telling a little bit, which was like 4 or 5% higher than is typical for the Dodgers. And he really got them to chase late in counts. They were 0 for 7 with 5 Ks when it was in that situation. So to answer the question with a long intro there, I think that if the Dodgers are patient with him tomorrow night and make him throw, especially that changeup, up in the zone, not down in the zone, and his breaking ball, at least on the corner instead of being 6 inches, 3 inches of a foot outside, I think they're going to make good contact. I'd be surprised if they didn't adjust to him, and I'd be surprised if they weren't successful against him and get him out of there and watch some more relievers come in every couple minutes.
How ready to go is Julio?
Julio has always been ready. We signed him. He was 16 years old. He probably had the best aptitude for pitching of any pitcher I've ever signed or drafted, and just had tremendous feel for it. Worked his way up, got bigger, stronger. We saw how he competed last year. Is he ready? We saw what he did to win the pennant. We saw what he did to win the World Series. We saw that it wasn't three outs. It wasn't a left-on-left situation. Face three hitters, and we'll bring somebody else in. No, it was like, hey, you know what? You're the guy. You're going till the end of this game. So I have every confidence in him. Certainly San Francisco can adjust to him a little bit. But when you watch, when I watch how he pitches, compared to Webb, and there's nothing against Webb. Webb has had a tremendous year. Just looking at two different young pitchers. Julio will work you outside if you're right-handed with that changeup, and sometimes with the curveball. But it'll also pound you inside. And it's tough for a hitter who is looking outside because that's what the report says, or that's how you got pitched the last time. And so you're kind of leaning just a little bit, and you're kind of, you know, on the outside there trying to do some damage with a pitch in that vicinity. And then he busts one inside on you at 94, 95, or throws you a hard slider down to the back foot of a right-handed hitter. Tough to adjust to. So I have no qualms about him tomorrow. I think that, you know, it's a great choice. I think Scherzer would be a great choice. Walker Buehler, not back to back, but certainly on rest would have been yet another good choice. That's how the team's built. Julio, he'll be ready. I have no doubt, and I know that he's got tremendous feel and aptitude for what he does, along with four pitches and a fifth one that he can throw when necessary. That can make a difference.
Ned, I got a feeling this may end up being the question I ask everyone. I don't know why, it popped into my head. Do you think the Dodgers are a flip the switch team? That, like, they are just so talented. You know, we saw this last year in the playoffs with the Braves down 3-1. We saw it kind of in the middle of the regular season when we all thought the Giants were going to fade away. And then all of a sudden they win like every game in September. It just so happened the Giants did as well. Are they better in elimination games than maybe not in elimination games?
That's a great question, and I don't think that they are a true flip the switch team. I've been around teams like that, and some of them they look, you know, at some point in time they're looking to flip the switch on in the dark, and they can't find a switch, and the game's over. I do think this team plays with a relentless approach, especially they play that way almost all year. But they really play that way when you get to where they were last night and where they're going to be tomorrow night. They have that ability. And I've seen hundreds of games, hundreds of series, all the rest of that stuff. And there's sometimes even teams that I had that I thought were good teams that I wondered how it was going to be going into Philly in 08 and 09, going into St. Louis in 13 and 14, going into New York way back in 06, and even some of the Giant clubs that I was a part of. You know, you wonder, how are we going to do in this situation? Do we have everything we need? Not just talent, but the perseverance, the fierceness. I talked a lot to my teams about having the fierceness to compete at the highest level in the hottest of conditions, and I don't mean temperature. Just when it's really on, when you get those crossroad at-bats, those crossroad pitches that are going to dictate history, going to write history for you. Are you capable? Are you ready? Are you prepared for the moment, you know? And this team is. This team has been, and they continue to be. Can they get beat? Sure they can get beat. Professional athletics. But are they ready for it? Are they ready for everything that comes their way? I believe they are. I've never, in the last few years, I've never had more confidence in a group than this group. I've been saying it all year long, you know, whether it's in the studio to my teammates there, John, Jerry, Nomar, or people that I run into that know, you know, my passion for the sport and for the franchise. And I haven't wavered at all, and because I believe in who they are and really how important it is for them to be ultra successful and to be champions, World Series champions, in a year where you can celebrate it with the people who support you, where you can celebrate it with your family, with your fan base, the organization, with the city. Didn't have that chance last year, and I think that has driven them deeper than it would drive most teams that have had the satisfaction of winning 12 months ago.
Ned Coletti is our guest. Ned, do you ever hear, you know, in the night, the siren song of the Bay Area calling you back?
What?
You know?
The siren song.
Is that Tony Bennett?
Yeah, you know, or just, you know, whatever it is that connects you to the Baghdad by the Bay, San Francisco.
You know, I've loved life. I've loved living in California. I've been here 26 years. I started there with 11 years there. I've been here 15, 16 almost here. I have a likeness for the Bay Area, and some of my dear friends still live up there, and they give me grief since I've been down here. But, you know, jealousy is a tough thing to overcome sometimes.
Ah.
I've got great friends everywhere, and I have great friends up there too. But when it comes down to the baseball piece of it, there's no friendship. Brian Sabian and I are like brothers, but we would refuse to speak to each other for a year if we were competing. And I think in the year of 14, we were both neck and neck almost all season long, kind of like this year, except we won out that year. He ended up winning the World Series as a wild card. But we refused to speak to each other. We refused to run into each other. We knew where we could find each other. I refused. He refused. And that's just how it goes. You know, you battle like crazy to win for the team you represent, you work for.
They always say, Ned, that, you know, you play the 162. You want the best record for what? For the deciding game in a series. You want it to be at your place. So as someone that knows that place, how much of a home field advantage do the Giants have?
They have a lot until you get to the first couple pitches, and then it depends how your team plays. You can take a crowd out in a minute. They get a couple runs off of Webb in the first inning. The crowd's going to be periodically loud, trying to instill confidence or trying to build its own momentum. But that stuff goes away. It goes away. It's dictated by performance. They score runs early, sure. But you know what? If they're scoring runs early, I don't think it's got anything to do with the fans. Unfortunately, for the fans are here, but it's about the players and it's about how you compete and what you're able to do on the field. I've seen a lot of big stadiums really loud going in, and really quiet going out.
The great Ned Coletti, always loud coming in and strong coming out. We appreciate you, Ned, at Real Ned Coletti on Twitter, if you want to check him out. And, of course, Spectrum Sports Net LA. And the greatness of so many of these Dodgers that you see playing today is brought to you by Ned Coletti. Thank you, Ned.
Damn
Have
right.
a wonderful day. That's right, Matt.
Damn right.
Woo. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank Be you, well. Ned. Buona sera. Oh, see you later. Yeah,
buona sera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Buon pomeriggio. It's only 3:48.
Well, we had to get after Vic. We had to talk about your missteps with Vic, leading him into a path of darkness.
Thanks a lot, Scott.
Sticking his face on the meth pipe, making him suck that glass D.
He's a bum. He is a bum!
Go ahead, Vic. Suck that pipe. Spin your brain.
I don't want to. I've weaned myself of it. Suck it.
Suck it. You know you want
it.
We'll be right back. David Vasse, Alex Faust.
Word number song, couple top stories. Giving away Kings tickets.
Troubles are over.
King for a day, we're stacked.
It's all here for you and me. The beauty of life, someday you'll see.
The Petros and Money Show.
PMS.
Podcasted at am570lasports.com.
Coletti, remember, come see us tomorrow. BJ's Restaurant, Brewhouse in Burbank. Our first time back in the 818 in a couple years. Excited about 107 South 1st Street, right up to 5 at Olive Avenue here in Burbank. We're doing a three-hour show, 2 to 5 p.m., going into Dodgers on deck. And then first pitch, why not stick around? Watch the game from there. Dodgers-Giants, Game 5, Julio Urias on the mound. It's all brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Morongo, good times. And Kate's going to get you ready for that game tomorrow with off-night Dodger talk. David Vasse will join us as he is traveling up to San Francisco with the team. And he will be with us right around 5:30 p.m. tonight to set the scene and give us the insider's perspective.
But right now it's time for some secret textoso action.
Sold out to Chevy.
Did Ned Coletti just say Julio is going to pound your insides? Yeah, he did.
He did, yeah. Look,
he might have said he's going to pound you inside.
I think that's what he... Well, either. I mean, Ned would know. He's been with him since he was 16.
We do have some Sloopy references. That's right. He did a... He drafted him.
16.
Nothing worse than when Sloopy's Merkin hangs down. That's not what I thought about.
It's a different time.
Why does it have to be a Merkin, though?
Well, I look.
Vic wanted to sing.
If it were natural, it would really.
Yeah. Well, Vic wanted to sing Sloopy to start the show, and it was very awkward. Now, wait. How come Roxanne doesn't have to put on the red dress, but Sloopy does? Another great question about the cultural appropriation of Sloopy.
We could probably do a whole Petros and Money show on Sloopy. Hidden meanings. Where do we go from here? Could somebody remake it in 2021 and get away with it?
Hang on, Sloopy is still stuck on a loop in my brain. Okay.
Yeah.
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 I mean, there could be worse.
Do you guys want to cancel it? Like, make a hashtag and get it trending? Like, hashtag cancel Sloopy?
No.
Get rid of Sloopy?
No.
They got rid of Brown Sugar today.
Excuse me?
The Rolling Stones. They said they will no longer perform Brown Sugar.
Okay. They are going on tour. Makes a heck of a front man.
They're here this weekend.
Yeah, that's right. They're at SoFi.
Don't request it.
They landed at Burbank Airport yesterday like they're the Beatles.
Did they really?
Yeah.
At Bob Hope, that tiny little airport, they rolled in there with the valet and that Circle Drive.
Southwest, probably.
That is awesome. Freaking rolling into Burbank instead of like the private hangar at Van Nuys. Just, damn, that's awesome.
I think the lead singer was C-Group.
Is that right? Who would that lead singer be, Cates? Who would the lead singer of the Rolling Stones be?
Come on, Cates.
Ronnie, don't you goddamn dare tell him.
Mick Jagger.
Why would you do that, Ronnie? I saw it happen. Yeah, lead singer of that band.
You know why they canceled the song? It's because he was surprised that Brown Sugar tastes so good. They're like, why are you so surprised? Why is it a surprise?
I love the idea. I'm still stuck on Burbank. I love the idea of them pulling out and Mick being like, oh, is that a fries? Can we get a fries? I need to get some electrical equipment.
Paul McCartney has dismissed the Rolling Stones. He's getting wind in his jaws now. Paul is. He's getting real old.
Hey, Sir Paul. Okay? When you refer to him, it's Sir Paul.
Paul McCartney has dismissed the Rolling Stones as a blues cover band. He's really got wind in his jaw.
Well, I'll tell you, that blues cover band can bang out 80,000 seats a night at SoFi in back-to-back nights. That is pretty damn awesome for a blues cover band.
Yeah, that's a little better than Blues Hammer playing over at Cafe Boogaloo.
By the way, I would submit, if it were just like Paul McCartney, not Paul McCartney and Wings, but Paul McCartney. Look, the Stones are still together. That's still Keith.
I go see the Stones all day.
You tell me Paul McCartney's playing solo with like a backup band of session musicians?
With Wings, F Wings.
I ain't going to SoFi for that.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. You suck, Paul. Charlie Watts is dead.
I ain't going to that show. I'm going to the Stones. Sing along with him. Hit murder!
Why do you taste so good? Shut up! You can't say that! You're supposed to know how good she tastes. Thank you for tasting so good. I expected this completely. I'm not surprised.
As long as they play, not a Stones tune, but you know, you respect the solo work. As long as they play the cover of Dancing in the Streets with Mick.
Oh yeah, for Dave. Bowie.
Yeah, you play the tribute. You throw the video up there. Maybe you look next to you, you see someone that looks pretty good. Two of you start dancing together, just like Mick and Dave were in the streets.
Look, Superman's bisexual now. It's fine.
Let's go. Let's go. Oh, I can't. I'm in Baltimore.
I saw a girl on TikTok saying, you know why Superman's bisexual? We don't need any more straight white saviors. So don't try to save anybody while you're out there in Baltimore.
I'm just going to drink the Natty Bug.
You straight
that's
white.
That's all I am doing. I'm truly going back to that liquor store. And
stay
I'm hoping
in your lane.
Those dudes are still back out front. I enjoyed my time with them.
Stay in your lane and get me a copy of the Rhode Island Slut while you're at it.
You got it.
We'll be back with more PMS on AM 570 LA Sports.